standards for reporting standards. And we have Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Nutresa Group, José Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance, and myself, Alejandro Jiménez, Director of Investor Relations. After the presentation that will be made by the President and the Vice Presidents of Corporate Finance about the result for the past quarter, we shall start the question and answer session, which the answers we'll have through the webcast will be read literally. This conference will have a maximum duration of 60 minutes or earlier if there were no further questions. If we have more questions after the 60 minutes, we invite you to send them to our email for investor relations. I'll leave you with Carlos Ignacio Gallego, the President of the Nutresa Group. Good morning. Welcome. Thank you for being with us in our presentation of results at the end of the second quarter of 2015. Before going to the numbers, I invite you to go to slide number 2, where we show you some interesting events during the last quarter. First of all, we'll like to tell you that through the Nutresa Foundation, we had a public-private alliance to promote healthy lifestyles with the participation of WorldShop, the World Health Program, and the Ministry of Nutrition, and the University of Antioquia. This is one of the management of one of the risks and the major opportunities that our organization has in the role of our consumers' health and nutrition. And secondly, we are pleased to tell you on the latest survey for Merco Corporate Reputation, ratified Nutresa Group as the best company to work in for in Colombia, a position that we've been having since 2013 after Ecopetrol and Bancolombia. We're number 3, and we are the most attractive company in Colombia for the food sector. After these two news, we'll go to the numbers in slide number 3. And I will refer now initial to the first semester sales in Colombia, and as well as the international results. We'll had very good sales in Colombia for 2,269,000,000, with a growth of 15.5%. If we looked at organic sales, these were 2,131,000,000. 8.4%. That 8.4 is a 3.4 due to growth in volume and 4.8 due to price increases. Since the previous conference, we had announced that to mitigate the adverse effect of the volatility of rate of exchange on the cost of some raw materials, we're going to use strategically the price variable, trying to get the effect of our market shares and volume sales were as low as possible. We've been doing that like that, and we'll see later in our specific figures for the quarter. This price variable has to do with the volatility that it depends on each category, and we use that, always keeping into consideration the variation in the volumes vis-a-vis the prices. But this is a very good quarter for sales in Colombia. This also includes the consolidated figures for El Corral Group. During the semester, the sales were 1,298,000,000 pesos, with a growth of 19.3%. If we express that in dollars, having taken into consideration the quasi valuations in the different areas, we had a decrease of 5.8%. It's important to clarify that we had the Venezuela effect. Our international sales grew 1.1%, and the rate of exchange has opportunities which this company can take advantage of. We can the export from Colombia to the United States during the first semester grew 13%, and we have 63% of our total exports from Colombia. So we had also good international sales, and when we combine these two effects, and I invite you to go to slide number 4, when we had national sales which grew to 15.5, international sales that grew up by 19.3%, we get a total sales for $3,575,000,000 with a growth of 16.8%. So if we were only talking about organic growth, the sales organic growth was 12.3%. It's a very good rate of growth. With meat business grows at 0.9%, and if it decreases or eliminate the Venezuela event, chocolate grows at 16.7%, coffee is 13.9%, Third Monte Lucchetti 17.5%, ice cream 2.6%, pasta 9%, and consumer foods. Because we didn't have a comparison, we didn't show that those figures. It's a very good semester for sales, and we have 4 categories that have more than 10% weight. Also, the sales represented 18.1% of total sales. So for this semester, we had a very good commercial dynamics, and with some price effects where we are leveraging the strength of the brands that we have in the region and changing prices so as to maintain our profitability within the range that the company has stated is desirable. So now, after looking at the semester, let's look in more details for the second quarter. Slide number 5, we can see that we Colombian sales were $1,186,000,000. Growth is 17.7%, very good growth. And the organic sales were $1,082,000,000 with a 7.3% growth. That 7.3, you can see the effect of prices a bit more. Volume was 1.1% and prices were 6.2. Meats were 7, and crackers was 9, chocolates 9.4, coffee's 7. Ice cream, this category has had a less good behavior in Colombia this year, with a growth of 2%. This doesn't represent any loss of share. We gained share in pastas. We grew at 6.5%. International sales were $663 million. We grew 27.2% in dollars, and I explained there that we have the issue of Venezuela and the currency valuations, where we had where we grew 2.6 in dollars. So this is a second quarter with a very good growth. Explained mostly due to prices, but with still increasing volumes and with the health of dynamics. And further later on, we'll tell you some perspectives. We are still experiencing a very good dynamics. When we combine those national and international sales, slide number 6, we can see some 1,850,000,000 for the second semester with a growth of 20.9%. Organic growth is 14.1%. I should mention that normally during the second quarter is not one of the very seasonal quarter. This is mostly seen in the second half of the year. So sales have significant growth. We know how to move in a very volatile environment, and besides, we have incorporated a acquisition that's very successful, and taking advantage of the opportunities that we have to act in several important countries around the region. And that is what I want to show you in the next slide, number 7. You can see there how the sales by region behavior. The first one is Colombia. We have 63.6%, and the international sales are 36.4%. After Colombia, the first region is Central America, where we have 9% of sales. You know that Central America has had very low share. Costa Rica have a slight revaluation during the first semester. The second geography is the U.S., where we have 8.1% of our sales. We have a pretty strong position, and we're growing. Our projects are doing well. This year, we inaugurated our crackers plant. And the third geography would be Chile, with 7.3%. Our international sales in Colombian pesos in all Latin American countries where we are, we had double-digit growth, and Grupo Nutresa is, we have several categories, we have several geographies as well that allows us to manage our risks of volatility much better. A very interesting aspect that I want to highlight in this conference is that we have a very strong leadership in several categories. When we touch the prices to maintain our profitability, there's a possibility that you might lose some market share. But as we said, these price measures are not being applied across the board, but rather focalized. And looking at what segments, what categories, and what geographies, as a consequence of that, although we did touch the prices, we have the news of very record market share in Colombia. We got 60.9%, and as if we had a major consolidated market category, so we got 0.6% more than the similar comparable growth. Cold cuts is 73.5% growth, 0.5%. Biscuits 55.2, growing 0.2. In chocolates we grew 4.2 in wheezes. Coffees and we improved in soluble coffees 41.6 and with a growth of 0.3. But we're still leaders in the country. In pasta, got 52.6 and with a growth of 1.2. We grew in Mexico in cold drinks. And imported drinks grew in Chile. But we maintained a very good growth. We did not report figures for ice cream because we still don't have numbers. And in consumer foods, we don't have the support, but we did do very well. So in summary, from the dynamics point of view, international sales and market shares, we had a very good quarter, and accumulated figures were very good too. We're doing some innovation, channel development, managing very well our marketing efforts. The devaluations was more competitive, and we're making use of the new possibilities for exports from the countries where we have platforms. It's important to say that This is due to a responsible price management, where we're doing price changes that will not affect our market position, but helping our profitability. We have a little more turbulent environment. In spite of that, we have excellent results. As I said, we're projecting very good dynamics for the next quarter. With respect to raw materials and costs, let's look at slide number 9. You can see on the left side the commodities index in dollars, and the makeup, our breakdown of our raw materials. None of the inputs has more than 11.9% of the cost. So we do not depend on a single raw material. We have, in many cases, a sort of natural coverage, because not all of them go up or down at the same time. Our index is less than 19% compared to the previous year due to some low prices in referenced prices. The price of many of these commodities are in dollars, and when expressed in local currencies, have an increase that is driven by this devaluation. And these higher costs, which were not a pressure on some of the margins, we are working on productivity, efficiency, and managing our pricing in a very responsible manner. I would say that there's no major variation in raw materials, but we'll see later in the presentation by José Domingo Penagos, our VP of Corporate Finance, how we've managed to handle these effects. Before I give the floor to José Domingo, I would like to tell you that these variations that we see where the Grupo Nutrisa is present, these are seen as a risk, but there are some other factors that are real opportunities. This is a very challenging environment, but we believe that Nutrisa has the ability and the skill to do very well. The figures show very good results for the first semester, and we expect it to continue like that in the future. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Good morning to all. Speaking about profitability, let's look at slide number 10, where we have an EBITDA for the first half of the year. In general, our EBITDA margin for this first quarter semester is 12.8%, and with a growth of 4.7% compared to the same period last year. We highlight the growth in absolute values for the entire group. By business, we have the cold cuts, which maintains our profitability in the middle range of 13.1%. This has been a very sustained trend for the business throughout the year, and it is contributing very well to the total figures. Secondly, we have biscuits, 12.5%, a very solid growth, 10.1%. This business has a very good combination between local balance of presence in Colombia and the international business, and we have right now it's affected by a brownfield that we have for crackers in Alimar. If we were to discount the effect of the brownfield, we would have a biscuit margin of 13.1% in the middle of the range, about 12.5% that we've been showing. The chocolate business is affected. It has a double effect. The price of cocoa, the commodity of cocoa, is growing very much in dollars, and plus the effect of the rate of exchange. So that cumulative effect has a significant impact on the business. It's been reacting with the price increases, but this is after the second quarter, and the price increase in fact has had a partial compensation. So the profitability of chocolate is, we'll still have the rate of the rest of the year to see the effect of the prices on that. Then when we have the coffee business, it has a profitability of record, it's higher than the average. It's very sound in the management with costs and expenses. It's 18.5% profit margin. The Desmontito Gate has a margin of 11.3, but we have a brownfield here as well, and not only one geography, we have it in the biscuit. In Chile, we have a new biscuit plant, and in Mexico, we have a plant for cold drinks. So, discounting these effects, the profitability would be 12.2%. That's in the middle of the range. This is it's a significant business, but we have the ice cream, which also has a significant effect on the decrease of its profitability with this margin of 12.2 in the asymptote of the range. We mentioned the effect of the smaller sales for this year, and for the size and the structure, it has a significant effect and has had an impact in addition to the weather on this business. We believe that all the effort we're making in our portfolio product and price management, all of this should moderate this trend during the second semester. Then we have the pasta business. Has a very good growth, 44%. It's above the range. Has a very good growth, as I said. And lastly, the retail foods, we have 17.5% margin. Although I could say that due to the performance of El Corral and the ice cream shops that we have in Dominican Republic as well. This is the summary. I'm going to go a little faster through this quarter. Slide number 11. In addition to the growth you mentioned in the sales of 21%, the EBITDA is very good. Also, we have 11.5%. The margin is 12.1%. In general, although the margins are lower than the same semester in 2014, we have in several blocks like cold cuts, coffee, pasta. We want to show you the increase in the EBITDA, the magnitude of the absolute value of the EBITDA in most of businesses. The effect of smaller margin but increased value is also the result of an excellent neighbor of the numerator. It has a very good dynamics. Also, the revenue in dollars, we hope that it will continue to grow. We must also mention the brownfield, the biscuits with a margin of 11.56%. We have the plant in the U.S. It's ready, but they're just beginning to sales. The margin for this business will be 12.7%. Discounting the effects we have going from the 11 to a 13.6%, a little higher than the average. The impact on the entire group of these project initiatives was in Mexico and in Chile and the U.S. Is 0.5%. Would go from a margin to 12.6% for the group during the quarter. This is with respect to the brownfield and the operating profits for these business units. Let's go to slide number 12, where we have the results for the group. We divided this by operating groups, and we have the effects after the operation. First of all, significant increase in sales is accompanied by a higher increase in costs. This started at the beginning of the year, and this will give us the difference, and it has a smaller impact. Has a decrease in about 100 base points. If we look at the expenses, if an increase of 21%, this is due mainly, first of all, to the consolidation of the Corral Group. This is more toward the sales expenses. It's important to analyze this. If you exclude the effect of the expenses for El Corral, on these expenses we have to only 1%, the growth is only 12%. In general, operating costs that we have are 17.3, grow at 9.7. The organic growth of the prices, 12.3 compared to the organic growth of the expenses, 9.7, we have an equation that we believe is a healthy growth compared to expenses. This is important for the analysis. We also have some accounts related to the volatility of rate of exchange. We have in operations and post operations. We have an income of 7,800,000,000 pesos. This is mainly due to the effects of devaluation in this basket of work capital. In operating profits, we can see that they decrease about 7%. It's exactly the same reasons why we have the increasing costs. In the past operating costs, we have the effects of the El Corral acquisition, and this is why we see a significant increase in financial expenses. We also have the dividends that increase as a result of the investments that we made. In Grupo Argos in this assembly this year, and the rate of exchange has an effect. In this case, it's a non-operating cost, which is recorded in this non-operating account. And this is because of our cost policy. We do not speculate with the rate of exchange because we have a policy that is attempting to cover that effect. And with the volatility of the markets, we have some effect on the P&L. We have the discontinuous effect of the discontinuous approach, which is a new group for the or discontinued. In this case, we have some operation for Tremonte Lucchetti that we had in Argentina. We some commercial operations in Peru and Chile, which we do no longer have this year. So that's why the difference in this item is compared to the value we had in 2014. It's important to mention also the percentage of growth in income tax rate. You can see here has an increase of 32.4%. And this is due to the higher tax burden because of that we had last year. The effect of all this thing that we had has a decrease of 8% compared to the same period last year. Now come to the P&L for the quarter. This is slide number 13. In this quarter, we could say that a very significant growth in sales, both organic growth, 14.1%, and consolidation of El Corral, had a growth of 20.9% in revenue for the entire quarter. And we also see the growth of the cost, which is higher than growth in revenue. So we're closing the gap between the increasing revenue and the cost We still have a difference, but the price increase for the average of the entire group helps us to offset partially the increase in the cost of raw materials indexed in dollars. You can see the increase in expenses, sales expenses, 23%, and this is due to the consolidation of El Corral and an increase in the marketing and expenses during the quarter. And the past operating, what we've seen in the accumulated, we have some financial expenses higher than last year, and we also see revenue due to a volatility of the rate of exchange in our coverage strategy. We have another expenses item, which is basically the monetary corrections in Venezuela. Then profit before taxes, we have a growth of 5.2% in spite of the variation of the income tax. In this case, this is due to no surcharge in the CRE, and we had significant fiscal effects from 2014 that changed our tax basis. And this is the reason for our 15.2% net profit. And slide number 14, thinking of the debt, we need the requirements for capital, work capital, in spite of this good performance of the sales, but you can see that it's not affected in the notes. The turnover of the cash flow, which we have a operating cash flow with for the group, we have close to 10 days of turnover. For the we have a pro forma here. El Corral, 12 months. We did not consolidate it from since March. It's 3.1 times, and the EBITDA is 12.1 for the new distribution. The average rate of this debt is approximately 6.8%. This net debt of 2.8 billion pesos. And lastly, the CapEx. For to complete this equation after the EBITDA for working capital and CapEx, and the it's 166 billion pesos at the end of the first semester. This would conclude my section on profitability. I'll give the floor again to our president, who will share the outlook for 2015. Looking at the second half of the year, and we only have like a couple of months more to do. We believe that the volatility of the rate of exchange is going to continue in the region, and we expect to continue with a good business dynamics, especially in the Colombian, Central America, and in the U.S. markets. We're working on, and we believe that exports from those countries where we act as locals are also going to grow, and we're going to continue this entire semester working as we've done so far to mitigate the risk of this new rate of exchange and leverage the opportunities that they provide. So this will allow us to forecast a good commercial performance, and our profitability will be within the range that the profit has that the group has established as a target for the semester. This is our outlook for the rest of the semester for the group. And so I'll give then the floor for Q&A. Right now we'll open the floor to Q&As. We already have two questions through our webcast. I'm going to read them, and then we will open that two questions to the conference call. The first question is by Mr. Roberto Lamp from Alkity, and is what are the key milestones that we have in Chile since the acquisition of Tasmantes-Duquette. Well, thank you very much. Since the acquisition of Tasmantes-Duquette, the first few days after we received the company, we focused on getting a deep knowledge of the team and finding the synergies that we had, that we had defined since we started the acquisition. And we tried to change the financing structure of the company, trying to homogenize with the rest of the group. And we tried to use the network of distribution of Tasmantes-Duquette in Mexico, which is very strong, to sell our chocolates that we already had in Mexico. That is doing very well this year, although we had the reform for products of high caloric content. The distribution of chocolate in Mexico has been key, and it's doing very well. Another significant fact has to do with construction and inauguration of a plant in Chile for baked snacks, Crispo, which started with two references at the beginning of the year in the Chilean market. Those two snacks are very well received and opened the door to a new category, an additional category in Chile. We also completed the construction in Guadalajara of a plant for pasta. We launched the Duquette pastas in the Mexican market with good results so far. And in that same plant, we have the facilities for instant cold drinks in Mexico. And as a business continuity plan, it decreases our risk in Chile and gives us a chance to work with Mexico with a platform for this category. I believe that we should also point out that Nutresa has, using those distribution platforms, has taken over directly the distribution of the Tres Monte products in Peru, in Central America, and recently in the U.S. In general, I would also say that another of the major achievements was to include the talent that we had in Chile, because we have a very good team, highly competent, into our talent pool. And we believe that Tres Montes Luquete is a driver for the development of the group, of the Nutresa group in the region, that their capabilities and their people will make us ready to do a lot more in the region, in Chile, in the countries around the south. We will do that gradually, taking advantage of this development. So these are the major highlights. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Let me read the next question that we received through the webcast. It's Mr. Guillermo Villate Martinez from BBWA Colombia. What is the expectation of the net indicator over EBITDA indicator for the 2015? Thank you for your question. The expectations that we have for the pro forma indicator, which is the EBITDA that gives us El Corral for the 12 months, is about three times. So it's very similar to the indicator that we see right now. We've had constant communication with the rating agency in this respect, and they haven't had any modification of the rating, and so far they maintain our AAA rating for this indicator, and that net to EBITDA is around 3 according to the pro forma for 2015. So the operator, give the instructions to ask your questions to the conference call, and we will be taking questions through that medium. If you would like to go to queue to ask a question, please asterisk and number one. If you want to leave the queue, please press the numeral sign, number sign. If you want to ask a question, asterisk and the number one. Question from Mr. Andres Soto. Good morning to everyone. Thank you for your presentation. I have two questions. The first is about Colombia. During this quarter, you increased prices 3% and maintained a 1% growth in volume. When you compare the volumes with period previous, you have a difference. I'd like to understand how far or to what extent that deceleration is due to the increase in prices or because of the deceleration of the Colombian economy. And being in taking into consideration that the peso continues to depreciate, are we going to recover the profitability or are we going to maintain volume growth? Thank you, Andres, for your question. Actually, whenever a company manages a price variable, you use the price versus demand curves by reference, but the rate of exchange difference, which is in this case from peso to dollars, it makes some external factors, for example, the actions of the competitors whose effects are 100%, while the dollar affects us in some components of our costs. Those which imported are in many categories, our major competitors are affected in 100%. So those price demand curves can behave differently. What we have done, as I said, is we've manipulated our prices in some categories and some products, but most increases were taking place in the second semester. Another thing that we should consider is that there are some actors that imported products and had sufficient inventories to cover some of the months of the first semester. I think that one interesting sign is what we saw in our market shares, where significantly, although we did modify the price, we gained market share. The real question, and we agree there, is what is going to happen not in consumer mass consumption, but into the general economy, if inflation in the country would reach levels that might affect consumption. What we have there is a competition of all the actors in the economy for the money that is in the consumer's pocket. Our group, Nutresa Group, strength is that we work in not in the most sophisticated or in luxury, totally luxury items that would make the consumers restrict to other categories first, and that our basic foods would be the last to be affected. So, as I said, it is true that there were changes during the second quarter, but we believe that what we did allowed us to maintain our profitability. The Nutresa Group, our objective, strategic objectives, the key objective is called profitable growth. So now the moment of truth is not either or. We can want to continue growing, but with proper profitability. If the question is, are you going to be manipulating prices? Yes, but we will do it responsibly with as little effect as possible. As you can see in the presentation, our sales growth are pretty good. We shouldn't be afraid to touch some prices if it became necessary, because this is an opportunity to revalue categories. In the time of revaluation of the peso, many of those categories went for several years without any increases. We're going to do it very judiciously and measuring the effects and knowing that we have a lot of competitors that are more affected because they're 100% affected because they are imported, and our effects the effects on us are partial. We probably, our margins will be slightly lower, but the absolute values that we showed, and I would point that out now, how our absolute values are growing in sales, they're going to be very, very significant. That is the answer, Andres, and thank you for your question. I have a question about Tres Montes Lucchetti. The effect of the brownfields is clear in the area, but when they measure that in the Chilean pesos, you see a drop of 7%. How do you see that performance for the next quarters? And I think that the Mexico is ready. When will the Chile plant be ready? First of all, the figure of sales in Chile is not from that. Chile has been growing moderately, but our sales in Chile in Chilean pesos are growing at 4.4% in total. That's the first fact. The second is the plant in Casablanca is ready, and it's already in production. Our Crispo snacks are already in the market. They have been well received, and it is a plant that is already in operation. We're close to putting out the third reference that we're going to launch. So in Chile, we are ready. We're mentioning is that's our entry into the baked snacks. In Mexico, we already launched our Lucchetti brand pasta. We are a challenger in Mexico, but we have significant volumes. The performance is going to depend on the plants. This is a bet we're placing here. Normally is that in these brownfields, at the beginning, they will affect the EBITDA, but not in the intermediate term. What we can say is that the profitability, if you exclude the effect of those brownfields, is it's a profitability that is in the low range of our. When do you think that those brownfields would come at the in the middle of that profitability range? Usually these are projects for several years. You normally, between 3 and 5 years, you begin to reach the levels as we gain volume. And then, but usually they have very significant returns, which are very much higher than the purchasing. When the multiples in those regions are very high and you'd rather produce your own than buy out. Thank you, Andres. We have a question from Mr. Sergio Matsumoto. Good morning. About what Andres asked about the effect of the price, I would like to understand why did you work with prices in this quarter. I want to know your policy, because the rate of exchange has been going up for several quarters now, but in the past you did something in the second semester. What was the decision? What was the reason to do it now and not earlier? Thank you, Sergio. I'd like to mention that we're saying that what we're doing is strategic price management. It doesn't mean that in the second quarter we touched all the prices. We always handle that variation in raw materials or in the rate of exchange by combining several types of coverage. In some cases, we have inventories or in others, we do futures operations, but the need to manipulate those prices is seen when the slope of the rate of exchange is high, and you can forecast that the profitability can be affected, and you take steps always with a view to what the other actors are doing who are competing in the same market. So these are measures where if you take too long to take those measures, for the same effect, you'd have to make very big increases. When you look at the price variation, total price variation in this year is very modest, considering that, for example, until August, the devaluation of the Colombian peso has been 33%, and if you look at the last year to date, it's been 63.9%. Actually, what we've done is through our internal productivity work, we've been able to transfer to the consumer only part of the effect of that rate, and the rest has been offset during productivity, internal productivity programs, and what's left, we transfer that, but without significantly affecting our market position. We believe that we've managed to do that, so perhaps others have been have to take more drastic measures. And this means that we have increased growth and value more than twice as the consumer mass market has grown in Colombia. We have growth that is more than twice the entire market. And this is due to the effective price management we've had. Something that we have to continue to do, but what happens when a market, those input costs don't change, the price variables would be more stable. Now it's very dynamic, and we have to manage it in category where the combination of revenue exchange and the price of commodities would affect our profitability. Our objective is profitable growth. We want to grow as we did in the first semester. We want to continue further, growing further, but we want to give our investors proper profitability, and we're going to be working on that. Can you make a comment about the El Corral? Do you have any figures about sales, how many new stores have you opened during the year? Something to give us the growth, an idea of the growth of sales. Corral has been having a very healthy behavior. We did not go into detail of each segment because it's an information that is beyond what is needed for value in the company, can be used by the competition, but during this semester, we have close to 28 new stores. The behavior of Corral is good. It's doing very well. And the profit level is higher than the rest of the business that we have in the Nutresa group. They're doing very well. We're very happy. And we, having that aggressive program of opening new stores. Do you still believe in operating the Corral independently, or is there a possible synergies with the Nutresa assets in Colombia? We, that vertical that we call the, which is consumer foods, El Corral, the ice cream shops in Central America and the Caribbean, and our investment in our stores, it have a different business characteristics. So that's why we wanted to have their own administration. It's a business where location is very important, Flexibility is very important. Experience together with the brand is very important, and that is why we don't want that to become a distraction for the rest of the businesses. And what we're going to do is synergies in financial affairs, but especially the possibility of synergies due to our negotiating or bargaining power, but without sacrificing the that care of the experience that this type of business needs. This is the eighth business in the group. Ice cream shops are doing very well. So we have a business that is contributing significantly to the results of the Nutresa group. Thank you. Ignacio. Question from Mr. Jairo Agudelo. Good morning. Thank you for listening to this. I have two questions. The first one is when José Domingo spoke about the result for the quarter, the EBITDA margin was 12.1, but remind me of the EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA for this brownfield. And the second question is, what is the behavior of the results for the second semester? The rate of exchange for the rest of the third quarter in Colombia had devalued 15% compared to the second quarter. And we see an EBITDA of 12.1%, mainly affected by the cost of raw materials. I'd like to understand a little bit this price increase, which is average. Was that at the end of the quarter and beginning of this third quarter, to understand the impact that we'll have on the third quarter, considering that the volumes grew significantly compared to previous quarters. So how could that behavior, EBITDA margin behave during second semester? The first question I'll answer. We have an EBITDA during the second semester of 12.1%. Without the effect of the brownfields, that margin would be 12.6%. The differences are in biscuits and Tremontes Lucchetti. Biscuits is 11.8%, becomes 12.7%. In Tremontes Lucchetti, 11.3% will become 13.6%. That's specifically for the quarter. And I'll remind you of the figures. That 12.8 is 13.12% for margin. In biscuits, which is 12.5, we go up to 13.1. And in Tremontes Lucchetti, from 11.3% goes to 7.9%. These are the effects of these projects for the, on the profits of the semester. And the change of prices, this variable is very dynamic. The decisions that we made during the first semester are valid for the entire year. That's those increases, we will see the effects during the second semester. I also mentioned during my presentation that our business for the business the second semester is more seasonal. That's traditionally been so in the group, and as well for the acquisition of El Corral. The last few months of the year are the highest in sales for the year. So it's very specifically in some businesses, not in all of them, we might have to manipulate prices again, not in everyone. But the question is about the expectations, the outlook, and what we expect is that even with that price intervention, we can have an EBITDA margin for the group between 12 and 14%. And those margins, if we apply to sales volumes like the ones that we've achieved so far, even if we had some increased results of price increases, we're going to have some absolute figures for the EBITDA, which will be quite significant. Thank you for being with us in our conference. It is 9 o'clock, and we must conclude the conference for the results for the second quarter of 2015 with our appreciation for your interest. And although we have a time limitation, there is not a limitation to access to management, and your email and your phone number for investor relations are always open to answer any questions that we didn't have a chance to answer here. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of conference today. You can disconnect now.